Krishna is Gopikanta, Gopinath, not only Radhanatha. We were discussing that thing in our Chaitanya Charitamrita class.
Yes.
Last time, isn't it? Then the special, significant aspects of Radha Prem. But Krishna lacking.
Yes.
Radha Prem is one-pointed. Well, Krishna's love is not one-pointed, it is multi-pointed.
Right.
And because he is not only Radhanath, he is also Gopinath.
Yes.
That is the difference between Radha Prem and Krishna's love. Then stand, reciprocation. Therefore, Krishna accepted Radha Prem as spiritual master. So he came as Gauranga. Assuming mood of Radharani. You understand?
Yes. You were saying during that first Chaitanya Charitamrita class, I think it was on Thursday last week,
yes,
that you were mentioning the 5 points.
Mm.
And the first point you mentioned about Radharani's love is the Avishayamika.
Significant points of Radha Prem aspects.
I don't remember the other 4 points, if you mentioned them or not.
Yes, we have discussed it. Isn't it? We have discussed. All right, tomorrow the class will be again. Again, we'll go back to that point. Just a revision class. Again, we'll go back to that point. Revise it.
Alright.
You understand? Tomorrow is Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Yes.
First day and Friday. We hold classes. Yes.
How to become free from envy?
How to become free from envy?
How to become free from envy? Enviousness is a material quality. Is the quality of a conditioned soul. You understand? We cannot say it as a quality. We say it the opposite of quality. Durguna, dosha. You understand? A mistake or defect. Isn't it? So instruction is there. We should be free from it. We should not develop such enviousness. Rather, we should be tolerant. That Mahaprabhu's teaching, taro riva sahishnuna. Be tolerant as a tree. Those who are intolerant, they are envious. They cannot tolerate the supremacy or good quality of others. In other words, they are not true Vaishnavas. Those who develop this enviousness, who become envious, they will fall down. They cannot make any advancement in this spiritual path, in the path of pure devotional service. You understand? So instruction is there. Nirmasara. Vaishnava is nirmasara. A real Vaishnava is not envious. Rather, he appreciates if someone makes advancement. He appreciates it. And he always thinks, as Tunadapi Sunicha, I am the most insignificant fellow, more insignificant than a blade of grass on the street. You understand? He thinks, all others are Vaishnavas, I am not a Vaishnava. This is the mood of a pure devotee. You understand? I am the only person who is not Vaishnava, and all others are Vaishnavas. You understand? This is mood. This is Tunadapi Sunicha Bhav. And if someone develops this attitude, this bhav, he will make advancement in this path of pure devotion. Otherwise not possible. You understand? That verse from Sikhyastaka, पुराण भी सुनी थी ना तरो रीव सहिष्णु ना हमारे ना मान देनो कीर्तनियो सदा हरी दिस मोस्ट फेमस वर्स दिस क्वालिटीज शुड बी डेवलप्ड चैतन्य चरतामृत कंपाइलर ऑफ चैतन्य चरतामृत कबीराज गोस्वामी सेज मेक ए गार्लैंड ऑफ दिस वर्स एंड पुट अराउंड योर नेक एंड डू हरि भजन ही सेज लाइक दैट यू अंडरस्टैंड एंड आवर गोल इज दैट How can we become like that? We are conditioned souls and naturally we are very envious, very intolerant, very puffed up, all these bad qualities we have. But we should give up all these bad qualities by association of sadhus. And by being disciplined by a bona fide spiritual master, we will develop such qualities. You understand? It is possible by that. If you will be disciplined by a bona fide spiritual master, then you can give up all these things. You understand? Because we are conditioned souls, we need discipline. You understand? We should be disciplined. Discipline should be inflicted upon us. And we need it. Therefore, we have accepted a spiritual master and become disciple. And have become disciple. You please inflict discipline on me. You have. We said this thing. Then say, otherwise these things will never go away. We can never be get rid of all these things. These are all with us. Yes. You understand, Kunti? Yes. That means you should be disciplined. Spiritual master will inflict discipline on you. Then you'll be. You can give up all these things. Enviousness. And spiritual master has that right. You catch hold of your ear and slap. You rascal, what are you doing? You understand? You be tolerant. You should tolerate this punishment of spiritual master, then you become a real devotee, Vaishnava. If someone tolerates this punishment from a Vaishnava or from spiritual master, then you will become Vaishnava. Otherwise you cannot become Vaishnava. Punishment, we should be punished, we need punishment. Isn't it, Prabhupada?
Please give me punishment.
Yes.
Whatever it takes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Otherwise this good mind. Follow instruction as it is. Follow instructions.
As it is, yes.
You don't slap us.
Needed slaps. If it is needed, slapping must be given. Yes, definitely.
You don't
If it is needed. Sometimes I slap through words. Through words. As my Guru Maharaj, you rascal. You see, this is slapping. And if needed, physical slapping also will be given. Yes.
If being the material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world.
Yes.
So everything that exists here is coming from the spiritual world.
Yes, it's a reflection.
Right.
Perverted reflection of the spiritual world, yes.
So we understand, like, bad qualities like lust is perverted.
There is love, here is lust.
Right.
This is perfected.
So where is envy coming from? I mean,
from material desire. Kama esa krodha esa rajaguna smudhava. It is born out of passion. Rajaguna.
So it's not coming from the spiritual world.
Wow.
Perverted. I mean.
No. Perverted form is this enviousness. You understand?
What is
kama esa krodha esa rajaguna samudbhava. The Gita says, it is born out of rajaguna, passion, is material desire and anger.
So then it's coming from lust.
Lust. So it is lust. There is love, perverted reflection is lust. L-U-S-T, not L-O-V-E.
So just an extension of lust.
Yes. There is no question of love in this material world. There is lust. That is perverted reflection of love. It is named as lust. There is prema, here is kama, material desire.
Can you explain, Guru Maharaj, specific difference between, clearly, between love
and lust.
And lust.
That is between, different between kama and prema. Kama is lust, prema is love.
Yeah.
We have already that class in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That is difference between kama and prema. Kama means your own pleasure, sense gratification. Love means pleasing the senses of Krishna. That is love, nothing for us own. This is the main difference between kama and prema. You understand? Yes.
So why by following principles,
yes,
accordingly, and then you develop love.
Yes. If you are disciplined by Guru, if you are a pakka disciple, then you develop that law.
Automatically.
Maharaj, I know that sometimes Krishna invites one of the main gopis, Lalita or Visakha, to sit on his knee or something.
Huh?
Sit on his knee or something, and when Radharani sees that, she becomes very angry. So Radhika seems like she is envious, but because this is some spiritual platform.
What do you say? I can't follow you.
No, I heard that sometimes in Krishna Loka, it happens that Krishna invites one of the main gopis, maybe Lalita or Visakha, to sit on his knee. He does that because he knows that Radharani will come and see that, and she becomes very angry. That's also speculation.
That's also speculation. There is no question there in the spiritual world. Krishna is always with Radharani. And Lalita and Visakha, other gopis' business is to unite Krishna and Radha together, and thereby they will get pleasure. Do you understand? There is no such question. This is also speculation.
Too much speculation.
Yes.
So their business only to unite
Radha and Krishna.
Then they'll get pleasure like that.
That is their pleasure. They have no their own pleasure. They don't want to have their own pleasure by enjoying Krishna. No. By uniting Radha and Krishna together in Kunja, they get pleasure. They get pleasure. Yes, that's Gopi's business. Yes.
Are these type of dealings that you say speculation, but are they similar dealings where one Gopi will be appear envious of another gopi? Are they when they manifest on this planet in Golok Vrindavan?
You see, there is no question of enviousness. No question of enviousness among gopis. No. No. Not at all. They are not at all envious. You understand? Rather, they appreciate. If some gopi is very much intimate, becomes intimate to Krishna, they appreciate, he has become intimate, whereas I, not so. How can I be like that? Like that, not enviousness.
That's real love.
Real love.
See, like some devotees who are sincere, when they are preaching, they find someone love Krishna, he's happy. Someone accepts Krishna consciousness, he feel natural happiness. This is someone accept Krishna consciousness. The same, this is, but for gopis, it's a higher stage. So.
There's no question of enviousness. Nobody's envious. Rather, they appreciate. They try how I can be like that. You understand? Let me have his or her mercy. So I'll be like that or like her. You understand? It is there. No enviousness. It is enviousness here in material world.
Guru Maharaj, you're giving class now?
Yes, now I will listen. He will give class, he will read, he will speak, and I will catch up his ear and slap. I will ask cross question. If he fails to answer, so he will be punished. This is training. I give training in this way. You speak in this way, preach in this way. You can't answer this question, then how can you become a preacher? I give training.
Same time you listen in Muslim.
Therefore I listen.
Let
him say, and I will listen, and I will ask questions. And if he'll answer, then he will be slapped. He will be disciplined, he will be taught. Thereby, then sent. This is training. Otherwise, how can they be trained?
I heard once that many good devotees, they fell down because they couldn't listen to others.
Yes.
If you stop listening to others, you want yourself, in yourself,
yes. Yes. Because they are very proud of. They think themselves that we are great. Nobody knows something more than I. Therefore they fall down.
Actually, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, every spiritual master, he must hear
Shravanam. It's necessary. Spiritual master always says, speaks, in other words, does kirtan. Others listen Shravanam. He never listens, but he sometimes gives opportunity to others to say and he listens. All right, now today I listen Shravanam. It is very good to me.
Also, Scripture Master knows well scriptures, reading scriptures.
Still, he wants to listen. Let others say and I will listen. That's all right. You understand?
Yes. So my last question is, if a day, for example, we take pleasure by listening tapes, you give in class, Bhagavatam class, rather than reading books, what difference?
Listening is most important, very powerful than reading. Yes. Shravana is very powerful.
So we can study books, but the same time...
Yes. When we cannot listen, we can study books. Yes. That is known as Sodhyaya.
So for myself, I like to listen because I understand very well its sense, how you preach Bhagavatam.
Yes, listening is very powerful. Yes, if we cannot listen, then we may read.
You can do both?
No, you can do both. You can do both, yes.
Learn Srila Prabhupada's books.
Yes, definitely.
John, thank you very much.
Too much, I'm feeling that if I see too much, you're going to know how foolish I am. And you might not want to initiate me. You might change your mind. Yesterday I was trying to ask you a question, but I didn't explain it. I was asking if one has a fallen guru and he takes shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, perfects his life, goes back to Godhead, can he liberate that fallen guru? In other words, because he's become successful.
Yes, disciple can help him.
Spiritually.
You see, like it said that when one becomes devotee, he can help all family.
That's yes,
and 100 generations.
Yeah. That is, even in Prahlad Charitra. Prahlad Maharaj delivered 21 dynasties of his parental dynasty, you see.
Prahlad Maharaj.
Such a Vaishnava takes part in the family, so he can do such things. He's so powerful. He was on service.
I want to know, Srila Prabhupada gave some type of benediction to disciples who would distribute his books.
Mm.
So devotees like who were in a situation like I was in, without a proper spiritual master, but yet somehow or another by the mercy of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya were distributing Prabhupada's books to the extent that maybe somebody becomes devotee from a book that we give them.
Mm.
So we understand from what you were explaining that you can't really make tangible advancement unless you have a spiritual master.
Yes, unless you have a spiritual master.
But under these circumstances, because the devotee is preaching...
Yes, they are earning some sukruti.
It's material sukruti?
No, bhaktinmukhi sukruti. Three types of sukruti are there. One is karmanmukhi, second one is jnananmukhi, third one is the best one, that is bhaktinmukhi sukruti. And that bhaktinmukhi sukruti will help one to associate with sadhus and accept the bona fide guru. That's what the Sukruti will help you.
It just softens your heart so you can become humble enough. It can help you soften your heart so you can develop humility.
Yes, definitely.
To acquire good qualities.
That is Vaishnava quality. Humility. That is Vaishnava quality.
This morning when you were explaining how the principal gopis were expansions of Radharani, this is kind of like confusing to me because...
Yes, this is very, very, say, top philosophy. Ordinary people cannot understand it. You understand, especially what to speak of ordinary people, even Kanishtha Adhikaris. They cannot understand it. Very tough and confidential philosophy. It's Radha Tattva.
Could I ask you a question in this regard?
Yes.
To try to understand the best I can. So, these gopis are expansions of Radharani, and they are jiva souls.
Yes, jiva, all are jiva.
And at the same time, they're expansions of Krishna. Awesome.
Expansion of Krishna in the cowherd boys. Cowherd boys. Vishnu Tattvas. They're all expansions of Krishna. Direct plenary portions, we say. Swansa. We, the jivas, are also expansions, but we are differentiated parts, vivinansa. Two types of expansions. One is swansa, another is vivinansa. One is direct. That is plenary portions, another is a differentiated part, they are living entities.
So the principal carrot boys are Svansa?
Yes, because they are eternal, servitors, or parsala, intimate associates.
So they are in the Vishnu Tattva? Okay.
Vishnu Tattva, like that. More than that. They are always interesting.
But I thought that all jiva soul is an emanation from Krishna.
Mm.
But how is it that some jiva souls who are gopis are emanations from Radharani?
Mm.
How to understand the logic behind that?
You see, jiva, energy. Jiva tattva means energy, shakti tattva. You understand, Radharani is main shakti, main energy. So, all shaktis are expansions of Radharani, but there are three main. One is para, another apara, and one is marginal. This tatatha shakti. You understand? Para shakti is Radharani, gopis of these lakshmis. They are para, superior. Apara is maya shakti. You understand? And with jiva, we are marginal energies. Upadastha Shakti. You understand, three men. Though Krishna has multifarious energies, Govida Shakti, Parasya Shakti, Vividhi Vasuyati. Vividhan is multifarious energies. These three are men. You understand?
I just cannot clearly understand the position of the gopis.
Gopis are that internal energy, Radharani is direct expansions.
But they are jiva souls.
Yes, jivas, but they are not ordinary jivas.
They
are not ordinary jivas.
So one who comes up from material, let's say, he meets Gaurapada's rich master in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disciplic succession, and eventually he becomes purified and realizes his position as gopi in conjugal love.
They will be elevated to that position. They are known as sadhan siddhas.
Sadhan siddhas. So is that devotee, does that devotee also become an expansion of Radharani or a different category?
Yes, because jiva means energy. Radharani is a chief energy. Why not?
This is inconceivable,
yes. It is inconceivable. How can you conceive? Just take it. Just accept it. Which is inconceivable, we should just accept it. When we will be liberated to that stage, it can be understood. Or it can be realized. It cannot be explained by words. You understand? It's a question of realization.
I was reading this Guru Ashraya, TBC paper. I haven't finished it. It's my second time reading it. It's very, very clear.
Yes, very clear.
Now, like you're saying that we should go back and be bold in our preaching, but what happens when we have to face devotees who are like old prophet disciples like Ajamil and and they know Shastra very well. How to defeat them? It's difficult.
This paper is circulated to all centers. Do you understand? Ajamil also the seat. What Ajamil says, that is not bona fide or Shastric, not according to Sadhu Shastra and Guru. He has something biased view.
Did you read Virabhahu?
Yes, yes.
Was that more correct or is that still bias?
No, Virabhahu is correct.
It's correct.
Virabhahu is one of our groups.
Right.
Research groups. So we had discussions.
It's really correct then. It's not one sided?
No. Rather the paper of that Gaurav Keshav. Gaurav Keshav one, Gaurav Keshav.
Yeah.
This paper is our mental concoction. He has quoted Shastra but has twisted the purport of Shastra. Twisted. Having his own wheels.
What was his conclusion?
Huh?
What was his main conclusion?
Different. Just opposite.
Opposite of Virabhahu's. Like Ajamil's?
Like Ajamil's. Yes. No necessity of accepting further guru. No necessity of reinitiation. He said like that.
Mm. Yeah, he told me that also. Mm. When I read Ajamil's paper, I get the vibes that they make it seem like if you again take reinitiation, you're very weak.
Mm.
The real strong devotees, they insinuate, are the ones who could just take shelter of Prabhupada and his books, and they don't need take shelter of the Guru.
You see, that is not according to Sadhu Shastra and Guru. You cannot directly link with this Prabhupada. One may say, all right, I'll directly link with Jiva Goswami. I am reading his book, I'll directly link with Bhakti Vinod. I'm reading his book. Is it possible? It go through present current link. That is Shastric. Sadhu Shastra. You understand? One cannot jump over.
A few months ago I had a dream, and Srila Prabhupada was in the dream, and
he didn't say anything, he was silent. And then a voice from within me said, so you think you can have this type of relationship with Srila Prabhupada? Well, you can't. You must, he said, you must go through his representatives, his disciples.
Yeah, that's right.
Prabhupada's speech.
Can that be direct revelation from Prabhupada?
Yes.
Between
yes.
If it's Purushana, yes. Shana, yes. Shastra correctly?
Yes. That Prabhupada said in his books.
And when I woke up from that dream, I realized that I have to be real humble towards disciples of Srila Prabhupada. And then I heard your lectures, and you were saying that, many lectures, you were saying that the God brothers of the Guru should respect it.
As good as Guru. Yes. That Mahaprabhu has shown us. When he saw Brahmananda Bharati.
The next story.
That one is Berlin sunglasses house.
Yes.
Next story.
Very nice Sikya.
Yes. Any more question?
Thank you. You're very kind to give us so much association.
Yeah, that's my duty. Thereby we both will benefit. You will benefit, I will benefit also. It is Krishna Katha discussing. It is reciprocation, not one-sided, two-sided. Sravanam Kirtanam.
You had a question?
Yes.
She
said she wants to know how can we become more, how can we get off the bodily platform and less bodily conscious and overcome our bodily sickness, illnesses?
By constantly engaging yourself in the devotional service under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master.
The answer is always the same.
Yes, only way.
What if the sickness
is impeding your sadhana and your service?
Sickness.
Yeah, you have sickness and it's impeding, interfering with your sadhana. You can't get up for Mangalarti, you can't chant nice rounds. You can't do so much service. What to do then? This is my situation.
You see, sickness is two types. One is the reactions of previous sinful activity. As long as the soul is not liberated, that must come. And the liberated souls also have sickness. And that is directly from Krishna. You understand? They have no reaction. But they are liberated souls. But Krishna sometimes put in such situation the devotees. You understand? An example you will find in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Kusthi Vasudev Vipra.
Yes.
He is a leprosy patient. You understand? He couldn't move. The person of flesh is falling off from his body, and there were worms in it. You see, so this is Mahabhava, great devotee, very dear devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He couldn't move, but he is not getting any pain, rather in a blissful mood. You understand? Very, very blissful mood. You understand? This is different kind of sickness that directly comes from Krishna. You understand? Apparently it seems as if the person is a great sinner, but is a great devotee. He suffers, but actually he is not suffering. He is getting transcendental pleasure and happiness thereby. You understand? So when Mahaprabhu came to Kurma Mandir, when he was traveling in southern India. So that Pushti Vasudevi Prabhu could know that Mahaprabhu was coming to Kumbhamandir. So with much difficulty he came to see Mahaprabhu. Though he couldn't move, with much difficulty he came there to see Mahaprabhu. But Mahaprabhu just left the temple when he arrived. So he heard that Mahaprabhu just left. So he became unconscious and said, I am such a sinful person. I couldn't meet Mahaprabhu. I am such an unfortunate person like that. But Mahaprabhu was very kind. He soon returned. You understand? Immediately he returned and embraced that Pushti Vasudev Vipra. And his body became very nice. All his disease gone. You understand? Became very nice body, handsome looking body. So that Vipra said, Mahaprabhu, why did you do like this? That body was very nice, that leper body. I was happy in that body because thereby I was always praying to you, crying and praying from the core of my heart. Prayer was very nice in that state. Now I feel puffed up. Oh, I have such a good body, nice looking body. So I may forget you. I may not pray to you as I was doing previously. So I don't want such body.
So advanced.
You see? He said like that. How is this? This is above the bodily platform. You understand? Such devotee. But Mahaprabhu says, no, don't be afraid. You never be influenced by this bodily things, appearance. You'll always remain in that state, transcendental state. You understand? So, this bodily consciousness will go at that time when we'll be completely engaged, 24 hours engaged, forgetting everything in Krishna service, the service of Guru and Gauranga, under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. Then that will go, otherwise it will not go. It's always there. But for many lakhs of lives, we are in this conception, bodily conception. Not one life, but two lives. Lakhs. Very strong in this conception. You understand? But this will go away. You understand? This will go away. If you are fortunate enough and have accepted a bona fide spiritual master and is completely engaged in the service of Guru and Gauranga, Krishna service, under his care, then this will go away. Eventually. You understand? Yes, definitely. We'll transcend this conception. Devotee can transcend. This is definite. This is definite. This is by the mercy of Guru and Gauranga. We can transcend. Not by our own effort. Not by our own effort we can do it. This is only by rendering service. We can forget all these things. When you develop prem, you understand? When we develop prem, love, then that will go. Otherwise not.
This love begins with love for the spiritual master first.
Yes, yes.
And then later transformed.
And in that state, it will not hinder your service. Yes, you may not come to Mangala Arati. That's not a great one. This is sadhana bhakti. to observe the rules and regulations strictly. This is the first step. But love is the last step, topmost stage. Those who are in that stage, they don't observe the sadhana bhakti. You understand? This is for the new pious. You understand? And we observe it to teach the new pious. Unless we observe, why the others, new pious will observe, oh, he is not coming, oh, I won't come. He develops such mentality. Therefore we come. You understand? Therefore we come. We observe it. Because we are there to teach them. And we must teach them by our own example, not by mere saying. Precept is better than example. It is common saying. You understand? That is Mahaprabhu's motto. Apane achari dharma apare sikha. You observe yourself, then teach. And you are not observing, you have no right to say. That's about it.
Prabhupada gives the story of a doctor.
Yeah.
A mother with a child comes to the doctor and she says, my son cannot stop eating sweets.
Mm.
And if he doesn't stop eating sweets, he's going to die in 1 week. No, in 2 weeks. Another doctor said, how can I make him stop? So the doctor said, all right, come back.
After 2 weeks.
And he comes back with the mother and the doctor says, stop eating sweets. And the child gets shaken and stops eating sweets immediately. And the mother says, why did we have to wait 2 weeks? And then the doctor says, because 2 weeks ago I was eating sweets and I had no potency.
If I myself won't stop eating, how can I say? So in the meanwhile I stopped eating, then I said. Yes, that's correct. Then they won't. It has potency. Your words have potency.
I have a question about Brahmajyoti, and the living entity. Srila Prabhupada always says that due to our misuse of independence, that we fall to this material world.
Mm.
Does that mean living entity in the Brahmajyoti, he has an opportunity from the Brahmajyoti to go to the spiritual world?
Very rare.
Very rare.
The rare personalities go there. Those who can develop their devotion at that stage, they may go. Otherwise, all fall down.
How can you develop devotional service, pure devotional service in that stage?
Because if they had Sukrutis, that is only Sukruti. That is the case of, you see, Sukhdev Goswami and four Kumaras. They were of that type, Brahmanandis, but they came to pure devotional service. And Sukhdev Goswami got the teaching of Srimad Bhagavatam from his father Vyasadev, he came. When four Kumaras could smell the aroma, the tulsi of her put on the feet of Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, they came like that.
So they were situated same level as being in the Brahmajyoti?
Yes, they are Brahmanandis.
Mm. Well, are there persons on this planet in this level?
Yeah. They were in this level, in this planet, but they were in that situation. They were Brahmanandis. Their aim is, they have already achieved that. And they have come down here.
Oh, I see.
You understand?
So when one falls from the Brahmajyoti, what species of life becomes a human being?
Those who fall from Brahmajyoti.
Into what species of life?
You see, according to Ramananda Raya speaking, Mahaprabhu asked this question to Ramananda Raya, Bubukhya Mumukhyur Gati. What is the destination of Bubukhya and Mumukhya? You understand? Bubukhya means those who want to enjoy material enjoyment. they perform some pious activities. So they are elevated to the heavenly planets and get the body of demigods, and they enjoy there. They are bhubhukshus, that is their destination. And mumukshus, that means those who want to merge in the Brahman Jyoti, Brahman effulgence, they are known as mumukshu, muktikami. They want liberation. You understand? And Ramananda Raya says, they will fall down and accept a body of a sthavar. Sthavar means a tree or mountain.
And they have to evolve many species.
Yes, bahunang dhammanangam, Gita says. Bahunang dhammanangam, after many, many births. In this way, go down, go up and coming down, go up and coming down, undergoing so many species. At last, when they could understand that Vasudevam sarvam iti sa mahatma sadullava, Vasudeva is everything, and they surrender unto Vasudeva, then they can go the right path. You understand? They became mahatma, sadullava, raya mahatma. Because they have taken shelter of Vasudeva.
How does one fall to the lowest sphere? I don't want to become one.
Indra Gopa. Indra Gopa means an insect, red-like, red, looks red.
Red?
Huh?
Red?
Red, looks red. Indra Gopa. They are generally found in sandy areas, and during rainy season you may see them. They are known as Indra Gopas.
Is this the lowest species?
First? Yes, worms, you see. Insects, worms. That is the verse there in Brahma Samhita. Indra and Indra Gopa. According to karma phala, the result of one's activity, one may become Indra and one may become Indra Gopa.
So it's coming from human species, someone so sinful, they go down to
Indra Gopa, becomes Indra Gopa, yes. And one may become Indra. If they have done some pious activities, then nice. You understand? But all are undergoing their own, the results of their activities. You understand? All of them are enjoying the results of their, having the results of their activities. Indra and Indra Gopa.
It seems like someone would really have to endeavor to commit simple activity to get such a low birth.
Yes, low birth means that simple activity. It's all simple activity. But if someone is fortunate enough comes to the path of pure devotion, all is the reactions of his karma destroyed. That verse says. Understand? Karmani nirdhanti kintu sabhakti bhajan. The verse says. Nirdhanti means bantu ashesh. Yes.
It's a very general question. Why the senses are so powerful?
Senses?
Yes, so powerful.
Yes.
And it's especially and between sense and sense objects, especially the opposite sex.
Sex desire is very strong. Jiva, the tongue, is most powerful object, sense,
yes,
tongue, that we see. Tār madhyan jivāvati lohamoy sudurmati tāke jata kothina sansāra Krishna mada bhayamoy parivāri jivājo sopasār unandila bhār se anānata pār ādhā Krishna mananga prindhākati. Jivā, the tongue, is very powerful. If you can conquer this tongue, automatically you can conquer other senses. And next strong sense is genital. You understand? Yes, Janamindriya, we say. Janamindriya, genital. Next to tongue. Those are very very much interested. Those are very greedy to taste nice palatable dishes. They cannot shake off this sex desire. You understand? If you can conquer tongue, then you can very easily conquer the other senses. This is so. Therefore, for our part, we'll never eat any other food is not offered to Krishna. Only we take Krishna prasad is offered to Krishna. And especially, and this doesn't mean that Krishna eats many nice things. You see, kheer, very sweet, laddus, sweetmeats. Krishna eats many nice things, very sweet, palatable things. But we should not be greedy enough to take all these things to test and eat. You understand? For us, we are sadhakas. We are doing bhakti sadhana, first step of devotional service. Neophytes, sadhakas. And the senses are very strong, it's a fact, true. So we have to conquer these senses. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, first instruction is that Indriyani Pamatini Haranti Prasabhumana Tani Sarvani Sanjamya Jukta Asita Matpara. Gita says, you understand? Indriyani means senses are very turbulent, very obstinate. Pramathini. This is very difficult to conquer them, subdue them. You understand? But you have to subdue them. How? Jukta asita matpara. Engage all your senses 24 hours in my service. Rusikena, Rusikesa sevanam bhakti ucchate. You understand? Krishna is known as Rusikesa, the master of senses. So engage your senses in service of Rishikesh. You understand? Then automatically your senses will be controlled. In other way you cannot control the senses. This is the only safest way. This is the safest way. You understand? The so-called yogis, they want to conquer their senses through asana, pranayama, etc. But they cannot do so. Hare Krishna. Oh, Giri, Ponala.
I have a question, unless you, may I finish with that point?
Yes, I did that.
Are you finished with your point?
No. No, it was speaking about senses, how to control senses according to...
Because to engage that senses, into this rendering service to Rishikesh. This is the only way. No other way. This is the only way. Now, Hare Krishna.
Daddy.
I have one question.
Yes.
Like we read in the fifth canto of the different hells that Yamaraj sends a living entity for his sinful activity. And Prabhupada explains how the material world is meant to rectify the living entity. But my question is, if the living entity has to go through so many species of life, what to speak of so many hellish planets, and then when he gets into human species, he can't remember his bad experiences, how does that rectify him? How can that sinful desire be taken away if it can recall his bad experiences?
You see, we cannot remember all these things. We have forgotten. You understand? Matta smuti jnanam apahanam cha. Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, we forgetfulness and remembrance and knowledge comes from me. You understand? It's according to your desire. If you desire to remember, then Krishna will grant the remembrance. If you don't desire, if you want to forget it, then Krishna grants forgetfulness. That depends on you. You understand? And we are not desiring. Most of the living entities here, you understand? We want to forget. So Krishna has granted us forgetfulness. But if someone is fortunate, comes in touch with sadhus, gurus, so he wants to remember. So Krishna grants him remembrance. Then he can remember his past activities. You understand? Otherwise not possible.
So without the contact of sadhus,
you can't.
There's no rectification.
How can you rectify yourself?
It just seems like meaningless to put material nature, putting a living entity under so much suffering.
Yes.
If it doesn't do anything positive.
Because you are captured by material nature. You are captured. You are under her control. Isn't it? You want to enjoy her. So you are captured. When you take complete shelter at the master of material nature, that means Krishna, then when you are empowered spiritually by Krishna, then you can be able to overcome my material nature. Otherwise not possible.
Maya Bishop. Maya Bishop. The name of Krishna.
Mayadhisa. Yes. He is the master of Maya. Mayadhisa. Yes. The master of Maya. Kire sadhu ye rastare swalgo khondili ne.
Haan, aaj hi lagla.
Rajiv Gandhi.
Rajiv Nara Parman lagla.
Woman, ask another question.
You understand now?
So just for preachers, because the preachers are there, the sadhus, to remind the living entity to get out of this material world. Otherwise it's captivated. No way of getting out.
No way. You cannot get out of Maya. Get out of the process of Maya by your own strength.
But if the living entity has a certain sinful desire, and then by that desire he commits sinful activity, which brings him to suffer through species and hellish planets, when he comes back from that suffering, does that at least take away the desire, or does it take the desire away, relieve him from his desire?
You see, desires are still there. It is not annihilated.
It's not enough.
Unless you come to the path of devotional service, it cannot be annihilated. Desires won't be annihilated, won't be destroyed. When you come to the path of pure devotional service, then this will go. It will be destroyed. Otherwise not.
Guru Maharaj, one who is endeavoring in this very life, if he follows the rules of regulation of devotional service, and then when he quits his body, he will remember Krishna next life.
Yes.
This means Krishna gives remembrance.
Yes. Krishna will give him remembrance.
And one who falls again, in the part of devotional service, but before death, before quitting his body, forget Krishna, he returned in material world, then he won't forget Krishna.
Yes, because he wants to forget. He develops a desire again. As in the case of Bharat Maharaj. You understand, Bharat Maharaj is a great devotee. He left all his kingdom, everything, and came to that ashram, Pulaha Pulaski ashram, stayed there, did sadhana bhajan, did sadhu sangha, but had kept a deer, you see, a baby deer, small deer, and he developed affection towards the deer. But when at the time of death, only he thinks of that deer instead of thinking of the Lord.
I am Arad, no?
Hare Krishna. You understand? So he was born as a deer. Janjam Bapishman Bhavante Jante Kalevaram Kantung Yaveti Kante Sadhapada Bhavu Havita. You understand? Gita says,
yes,
at the time of quitting the body, the desire in your mind, according to the desire in your mind, you will evolve into certain species of life. You understand? But at that time you can, if you can remember Krishna, mangevasamukta kaleparam japrayati samadbhavam jati nastatva sanshaya. At the time of quitting body, if you can think of me, Krishna says, then you will never come here. You will go to my abode. And that is our aim. How can we remember Krishna at that time? And that is the test. That is the success of life. If someone can remember Krishna at that time, then this will show that his life is successful.
What if a devotee is engaged in devotional service under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, and he's 100% surrendered, and he's trying his best, but he somehow or another, he leaves his body soon, and he's not yet been completely purified. What is his position? Does he come back, or can he go back to the spiritual world?
If he can think of Krishna at that time, he'll go back home, back to Godhead.
He gets special mercy.
Yes, if he cannot think of Krishna at that time, then he will come here. But that will help those who are devotional service. As though Bharat Maharaj was born in his dear spaces, still he could remember the past activities. And he was not an ordinary deer. Still he stayed beside that ashram, hermitage, and drinks Ganges water and listens to the bhajan kirtan of sadhu in deer's life while he was in deer, this is deer body. You understand? And that is a short-lived time, short time. Soon he left. Quitted that body, and he could know it that he was going to quit the body. He could know it. So he went into the Ganges, thought of Krishna in deer's body and quitted the body. Then he was born as Jaladharat, a topmost devotee, and that was his last birth. This is the example.
I read one book, Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Swamī said, he said, glorifies Gaura Kishore-dāsa Babaji very much. He said that his spiritual master is everything. Whatever I see is spiritual master. Everything, his spiritual master is everywhere and everything for him. So, and the other details I can't remember exactly, but one thing I remember that the way he glorifies spiritual master. So okay, you should understand that the spiritual master is everything for us.
Yes.
Nothing more than that.
Just a prasada bhagavat prasada. That we see. Just a prasada bhagavat prasada. If you can get the mercy of spiritual masters, then you can get the Kripa mercy of Krishna, Bhagavan. Otherwise you cannot have it. The spiritual master is everything. And our duty is to please him. If he is pleased, Krishna is automatically pleased. There is no other way to please Krishna. other than pleasing the spiritual master. You understand? So, no master is it. Is it not correct?
Where does come the tendency to really try to please spiritual master? Where does it come? That tendency, that feeling.
Feeling by association, by listening, by shravana. From sadhu. How can it come?
It's natural feeling.
But yes. That's natural way. Feeling, but we had forgotten it.
Yes.
We have forgotten it. Coming in contact with Maya. But when you come in contact with sadhu, then it is revived. You are listening to them, shravana. Then it is revived. That is one nice thing. Song. Sadhu sanga kari nija tattva avagata hana. You see? When the jiva, unconditioned soul, in human species, associates with sadhu and listens to a sadhu, then he can understand that I am a spirit soul, and that's nothing, that is not enough. I am eternal servant of Krishna. Then he can understand it. Then he laments. Hey Krishna, ami tomar dash. He cries before Krishna, deity of Krishna. You understand? Oh Krishna, I am your servant, eternal servant, but I have forgotten you. So many lives. And I am finished. But anyhow, now I could understand that I am an eternal servant. He cries before Krishna. You understand? Then Krishna dena chitsakira vala, maya hoy drubha. You understand? When he cries before Krishna, please help me. And Krishna empowers him with spiritual strength. Then, now he is able to conquer Maya, come out of the clutches of Maya, otherwise, no other way.
Our business is just to cry Krishna sincerely.
Yes. And that you know by association of sadhus. From listening to sadhus, you know it. How can you know it?
No. So you see, when you associate with sadhu, by seeing the qualities of sadhu, the natural appreciation, appreciate how you're acting, like friend, like for everything.
Yes. Sadhu Sangha is very powerful and it's only necessity. And one must develop such greed, we say. One must develop such greed that how can I get more and more sadhu sangha? Develop that greed. Sadhu sangha Krishna naam imatra chai sansara jinite ar kon vastu nai. I want only sadhu sangha and listen to Krishna and chant his holy name in the association of sadhu. Then I will be able to conquer this material world. And this is my only desire.
What do you mean sadhu? Sadhu, because sometimes when we're discussing with other devotees, we think that sadhu is everyone who is in some degree is practicing Krishna consciousness. But we're really sadhu.
Sadhu means a pure devotee. Pure devotee. You understand? Pure devotee is really sadhu. That means, in other words, Uttama Adhikari. Kanishta Adhikaris, Madhyama Adhikaris also, they are also sadhus, but they are not complete sadhus. Absent person sadhus.
They are lacking some qualities.
Yes.
Transcendental.
Yes, yes.
So if you... That means your spiritual message automatically saddle everything for you. And we're living away from here. And to develop that kind of association, how in the, if you're living in abroad.
We all come and test, baby. Listen. You understand?
Yeah.
And always remember the instruction of your spiritual master, what he has said. Remember it. Krishna will help you to remember. It's for Mahatma. You understand?
Yes.
And be always eager how to again meet my guru.
Yes, that's problem.
And have his
physically,
physical association. Be eager. And then Krishna will make arrangement.
This was my case only. I was no money, nothing, but I was very, very eager. I always listened many times about how I was eager to.
Krishna will make arrangement. It's not impossible on the part of Krishna, it's impossible on our part.
The end of your that article you wrote in the Vaishnava Journal, Guru Tattva, the end, you were saying those with fallen gurus should sincerely pray to Krishna and Krishna will give them a bona fide spiritual master. I've been praying like that in Vrindavan very intensely for the last 2-3 years.
Krishna Sour King must be. Yes, that is the only way. Pray sincerely to Krishna.
Because in my heart I knew that this is the only way I'm going to surrender to Krishna.
Yes.
Through love, not force.
No forcing.
No force.
This is love. Spontaneous.
Kumesh, can I ask you one thing? When you speak, when you teach, everything you're doing, you're so convinced. Very, very conviction is there. So, what does it mean, this conviction? You're so convinced everything you're doing in spiritual law, in spiritual path, you're so convinced. Why?
Because anybody can do like that, or speak like that, it is fully surrender. You understand? Fully surrender to his guru. It doesn't give Krishna, it's Krishna. Then Krishna or guru speaks to him. You understand? As Ramananda Raya says, Mahaprabhu asked so many questions to Ramananda Raya and Ramananda Raya answered. Ramananda Raya said, Moro Mukhe Bhakta Tumi Tumi Huo Shrota. Ramananda Raya said, oh, Mahaprabhu, you speak through me and you hear. Moro Mukhe Bhakta Tumi Tumi Huo Shrota. I don't know what I am speaking.
She's playing on my tongue like an instrument.
Yes.
So if the disciple is 100% pure,
yes,
he can experience the association of the guru at all times.
Yes. If disciple is pure and if disciple is fully surrendered, then that's all right. Then he is an instrument in the hand of his guru or Gauranga. You understand? So whatever he does by the mercy or strength of guru and Gauranga. He is not doing himself.
Therefore, he is convinced.
Yeah. How to do much? How to fully surrender oneself, become really fully. What means fully surrender? The meaning of full surrender.
Full surrender without any condition. Unconditional surrender. They say unconditional surrender. No condition. I have no qualification. I am an ignorant fool. So I can't do anything. Let me fully surrender unto Krishna. Krishna, I accept you,
yes,
and I come completely surrender myself at your lotus feet through your bona fide representative. And what you instruct me through my guru, I just don't speculate. What guru says, just do as it is. Follow as it is.
So Guru, sometimes to give instructions, sometimes in the part of the disciple, they feel that maybe he's not ready to act, you know, to execute, and then he can ask some adjustment. That means it's not surrender. To ask
a not surrender, no adjustment, no adjustment. Do as it is. Do as you have been instructed. You understand? As for example, we give. Take the example of Parshuram. His father is his guru. Was his guru. You understand? Come to here. Give thanks. So, his father's name was Damodagni. Jamadagni said to Parshuram,
yes.
Cut off the head of your mother. Immediately he cut off. He didn't consider anything. You understand?
Yes.
Oh, how is it? I shall cut off the head of my mother? I'll commit such a sinful activity. He never considered. Immediately cut off. You understand? No other country.
It's like Arjuna and Krishna.
Yes.
But Guru Maharaj, Arjuna sometimes you speculate.
First days Arjuna was speculating. Then go and Arjuna was took shelter. Sishyateham sadhimam pam prapannam. Now I am prapannam, I am surrendered myself. At your lotus feet, I become your disciple. And accept you as my spiritual master, you just instruct me and inflict discipline on me. Then Krishna inflicted discipline on me.
Yes. So Guru Maharaj, my important question is this comes up now. If you, now we are more than society, if you ask a service to your disciple, that service requires much mature substance, like money, something like that. But at the same time, disciple, he doesn't possess anything like that in that time. What should disciple do? He said, he really made it that my Guru Maharaj wants for me to do something like that, but I have no means, no help, no material substance, material means like money, cars, everything.
Don't think of anything. My Guru has said I have to do. Always think of like that and pray to Guru and pray to Gauranga. They will give you intelligence. What to do, how to do. Dadami buddhi yogam tam. Krishna says, I will give him intelligence.
But at the same time, Guru Maharaj, for you are meditating, but you don't act because you're missing everything. So that means you can maybe execute that order sooner or later.
No, execute sooner, why later?
If you don't have no means, for example, no means, no material substance to execute that order, you're missing something.
Yeah, missing something. Don't bother. Don't bother for anything. Guru Maharaj has said this thing. Enter into the fire. I have to enter into the fire. Immediately enter.
You gave the example of cutting off his Parshuram, cutting off the head of his mother. Is that correct?
He's
cutting off the head of his mother.
Yeah.
So what? Where do you draw the line? What is faith, surrender, and utter surrender and blind faith? Where do you draw the line?
Blind faith. One thing. If you have accepted a bona fide spiritual master, don't consider anything. Develop blind faith. That will benefit you.
What if the spiritual master becomes unbonafide and tells his disciples to take drugs or something?
The spiritual master is not bonafide, and then you have been cheated. That won't help you.
But should there be some intelligence?
But if you have firm faith in Krishna, that will help you. Krishna knows everything.
Should the disciple rely on some discrimination? If he hears something that doesn't sound according to Guru Sadhakasya, should he doubt, or should he just blindly do whatever he has to say?
If Krishna Master is bona fide, do as he says.
If he's
not bona fide, but he speaks about Krishna, you understand? So have firm faith on Krishna and pray to Krishna to help me. You understand? The Krishna will help you. And Krishna, this person is not bona fide. But this person, disciple, he needs me. He wants me. How to get me, so I will help him. So you will make arrangement. Then you can get a bona fide person. You understand? If you are so sincere.
But should intelligence come in if a disciple is given an order that doesn't sound reasonable? Should the disciple use his intelligence to judge whether it's bona fide order, or should he blindly follow?
Blindly follow. Don't make any consideration. Don't make any adjustment. And he said, that was no adjustment. Then some blindly follow. As I give the example of Parshuram, you understand? And similar example is also cited regarding Ramchandra. Dasaratha, his father, Ramchandra's father, is like his guru. He said, Ram will go to forest 14 years and Bharat will be king. Ram accepted it and went to forest. And Bharat came back. He was not there. He was in his maternal uncle's house. And he came back. He heard. And his mother Kaikeyi had done so. So he got angry with Kaikeyi, his mother. Then he went to forest to make Ram return. You understand? He requested Ram, please return. This is not proper. You should be king. I am not king. I am your servant. I can sit on the throne. Throne is meant to be for you. You understand? Ram is king. Nobody else is king. Ram said, no, no, Bharat. We should obey the order of our guru, Gurujan. You understand? Our father is our guru, like. Whatever he says, we should follow. That will be beneficial to me, to you also. Don't adjust. Don't make any consideration. Don't speculate. He didn't return. He said, Guru Adesh Nirvicharuri Grahaniya. But Guru has ordered you, told you, you just follow as it is. Don't add any consideration to it. No. Just follow as it is. This is the example we give.
Can some specific case, disciple, ask the service to spiritual master that I want to do this? All disciple must always wait for until the spiritual master give order. My question is, disciple, can disciple ask a service or just wait the order of the spiritual master?
Disciple's business is to serve. You understand? If Guru has not said anything, he must ask, what service can I render? As my Guru asked Bhakti Siddhanta, what service can I render to you? He said the same thing, go to the Western world and preach the message in English. Every time he says one thing.
It means that Guru desire.
Yes, Guru desire. Or if Guru says, all right, do this thing, no need of asking more, all Guru has said this thing.
For my case, Guru Maharaj, and this I remember now, you gave me instruction to, because before becoming devotee, I was a musician, doing recording, selling records, something like that. And then become devotee, I explained that this is one of my ability, but, and you said that if I can do it, then getting money for your service. And I thought that right now I can't do it, and rather I'm doing service to earn directly, like collecting money in the street and then for your service. Because that other service mission must require a long time. That means speculation.
Speculation. From your side you want. Guru has not told you that. You said, you ask Guru, if I can do, how will it be? Guru said, all right, if you want, you do.
I ask you, like, that means Guru himself can adjust. No, no me, but Guru can adjust.
Yes, but Guru has never told you that. You from your side ask. And Guru is so kind. All right, if he is so much fond of that thing, let him do.
That's not really instruction. That's a Guru give favor according to your request. And Guru say you can do it.
You can do it.
That's not the highest level of surrender.
Because he wants to something good from his side. He says, this will be very easy on my part. And Guru has given me something difficult task. That must complete surrender.
But there's one thing, Guru Maharaj, for my case, for example, you gave me a service to collect for this project. But you didn't give me, for example, specific
instruction
how to collect, you become businessman, or you become like this, you didn't give the gift, that is myself to find out.
Find out.
The mean, best mean for me to collect.
Yes. In what is, what you can do.
Yes.
Your aim is to collect. You think of and Krishna will give you intelligence.
Yes.
How to do it, how to execute it.
So understand my instruction you gave me is to do that step to collect, but according the means, my means,
yes,
is the best for me.
Yes. And Krishna will give you intelligence how to do. We completely depend on Krishna.
That's true, Krishna. Yeah. Krishna helped me.
And that instruction my Guru Maharaj has given to me. Krishna is always with a Vaishnava. Don't think you are alone. So Krishna will give you everything. You go. But I thought, all right, Guru Maharaj says, so I don't know Krishna. I thought to myself, I don't know Krishna. Guru Maharaj says, is Krishna is there. All right, Krishna is there. I accept it. And Guru Maharaj says, go and do like this. So I'll go and do like that. And Krishna will help a lot. I have full faith in the words of my Guru, and I did as my Guru had instructed me.
I realize a little bit, I'm not pure, so sinful, but by your mercy, this when I came last year and then I went, the way I did service, maybe not enough, but the less collection I have is Krishna, your mercy, Guru Maharaj.
Yeah.
Could anything was for me, I couldn't understand how I used to
We cannot it. Consider inconceivable.
Really?
Yes. Just to follow the instruction as it is. Be an instrument in his hand. That's enough. We have no qualification. We cannot do anything. We just to follow his instruction, and if we can be a perfect instrument in his hand, that's enough. He may use me as he likes.
It's very nice when you become like that.
And that is teaching about Gita, and that is that my Guru Maharaj has told me the same thing. And I was practicing the same thing in my life. So from my own experience, I tell you, not concocting anything. I am doing like that. I have no qualification, nothing. I don't know what to do, how to do. But Guru has said, do like that. And my Guru sent me here. He has told me, you go. I asked, Rupa, won't you give me some money? Won't you give me some devotee? You rascal. Go along.
Say like that.
Yes, go along. No devotee, no money will you give me. He said, my Guru Maharaj asked me to go to the western country, which is quite unknown to me, foreign. But that is your own place. You belong to Orissa, and you are going to Orissa. It is not foreign place, foreign land to you. Like my Guru Maharaj ordered to go to foreign land. No friend, nothing is there. I just follow the order of my Guru Maharaj, and I got everything. Then, why do you ask for money and devotee? Go alone. All right, yes. I came alone. No money, no devotee, nothing. So by his mercy, now it's all coming up. I cannot think of how it is coming up.
Inconceivable.
Inconceivable. He just instructs, go there. Go to the land. That's going to take to me. Build a very humble cottage there, simple hut. Stay there.